to invite to the front, which is a bit scary, really, having to look out to grown-ups rather than on the floor to small people who say funny things. Do you remember when your Christian journey started? Where you've been? Where you're going? Do you know where you're going? Do you know what's happening next? My first memory of feeling called by Jesus was when I was six, and we've been studying this in Epic recently, so it's quite fresh in my mind and bringing back lots of memories. But I remember, as a six-year-old, sitting on the floor while my infant teacher, who was called Mrs. Lightfoot, was telling us about how Jesus called his first disciples and how the fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, were called. And they were called to be fishers of men. And I remember thinking, yeah, I want to do that. Not quite sure what I wanted to do, because I had no idea what fishing involved, and I had no idea what fishing for men actually meant, or people catchers, as we politically correctly referred to this passage when we were working with the children the other week. Jesus wants us to be people catchers. I thought, yeah, that's what I want to do. I had no idea what that meant. And it goes through my mind, and it was going through my mind throughout life. And when I look back, I can see that is where Jesus was taking me. But all the decisions I've made in my life, I haven't been actively thinking, yeah, I'm fishing for people here. But I am certain that that's where Jesus was taking me, both professionally and in my church life. I've been involved in church ministry with children since I was 13, when I was asked to support our very elderly lady in her 80s who helped with the little people, our twinkler age group. And she needed somebody who could see and hear to to actually work with the children. She really was. She was very blind. She was very deaf. She couldn't hear what they were saying. She'd look at me and say, "What did they say?" And I'd very loudly say, "I want a wee," or whatever it was they'd said. And escort said child out to wherever they needed to go. But it was, you know, she was a lovely lady. And her message, she said, "So long as they know Jesus loves me." And that's what she made them say every week. Jesus loves me. If they grow up and that's the only thing they remember from their church years, they'll have got a good message. And that stayed with me. I want children to know that Jesus loves them. And that's one of the things I repeatedly say to children. You're special. Jesus loves you. He loves me. He loves all of us. My ministry with children has continued, obviously. I've always worked with children wherever I've been in church, and since I've come here, I've always been working with children, and it's grown. It's grown. I'm now planning most of what we do in Epic, and I really enjoy it. It's hard work. It takes up sort of several hours a week and does involve some quite painful, "Help, God, what are we going to do today or this next week?" But it's good, and I feel God's helping me grow in that, because I'm having to really study Bible passages with new eyes. How am I going to communicate this? How do I translate what this Bible says into words that a 5-year-old and an 11-year-old can understand? It's a challenge, but it's fun and it's good, and God's leading me. But God's also leading me in my professional life. Most of you know I'm a nurse. I'm a health visitor now. I've worked in nursing, well, since I left school, I suppose, as when I started training. I've had breaks from nursing. I had a 2.5-year gap year, because I don't ever do anything like normal people do. And I was a youth worker for about a year and a half, working mainly with under fives, but I did work with teenagers. And then I went to Liverpool and worked with a church up there, where my role was to enable parents to engage with their children, because it's something they didn't do. Parents didn't know, in the area I was, how to play with children. And so I was working very hard in setting up toddler groups and groups in the church to enable parents to talk to their children. And that was... it was really hard, because the culture in Liverpool was very much that if you moved next door to your mum, that was okay. If you moved round the corner from your mum, there was weeping and wailing, and everybody was missing everybody, and it was a terrible wrench. And they didn't get that I'd moved from the south of England to Liverpool. You know, what did I live near London? That was the only place they'd heard of that was in the south. Did I live near London? Sort of, I said. It was too hard to explain. They couldn't get, and all of us, "Don't you miss your mum, ka?" Because I was ka. They couldn't, everything got short off, ka. "Don't you miss her?" So I said, "Well, no, not really." the honest answer, not really. But it was really challenging. It was a very different culture. And the idea for many of these people of playing with their children was very, very different. But God was really leading me to understand how to communicate with families. I didn't think I was particularly good at it. And it's only, I guess, as time goes by and several decades later, that I look back and think, where I was good, you know, where I made some good progress, and where other training and other work has led me on into learning with communicating people with people better, which is good, isn't it? That God takes what you've learned 30 years ago and builds on it so you can still use those experiences now, but go out and do more with more people. I'm just reading what I'm doing. And there's been differences in what I'm doing in church work and what I'm doing in my NHS work. In my church ministry, I can be overtly Christian. I'm talking to people about Jesus. I'm talking about how we can develop our relationship with Jesus all the time. As a Christian, I feel as a nurse, this is my calling. It's where God has taken me, where God wants me to be. But we can't show any religious prejudices whatsoever. So everybody, of course, is treated equally. But there was a case in the news a few years back where a nurse was disciplined because she prayed with a patient. And that's quite scary for me as a nurse. You know, if somebody asked me to pray with them, what would I do? I think I probably would pray with them. But I wouldn't obviously go out and say to people, let me pray about that, because that might be, well, it would be unprofessional, it wouldn't be appropriate. But I do pray for my clients now when I'm in my car driving around, and I do pray for people before I go into visits, while I'm there silently, as I leave. There's certain aspects of my job which I find particularly challenging, and I say, Lord, help me, quite a lot, because I need to. But my witness as a Christian in the teams of people that I work with is something I find not challenging, quite fulfilling, I suppose. One of the teams I used to work with when I was when I first went out into the community, I didn't realise this, but there was a kind of book going around. What would it take to make Karen swear? Because nobody had ever heard me swear. What would it take? And I didn't know this was a big deal. I just knew there were some rumblings about people who made some comments about me always being so jolly and happy and always trying to see the bright side of things and whatever. And then there was a new computer software system, which... And you had to put in... It was a new way of working out or documenting or recording people's allergies, and I could not get it to recognise a milk allergy. I put in milk in the thing, and it came out with Garnier Sun Milk and milk of magnesia, but not a milk allergy. And after 45 minutes, I said a word that they'd never heard me say before. And the cheer in the office! You wouldn't believe it! The cheer in the office. And it made me really think, my witness, am I witnessing and making myself seem holier than thou? Am I putting myself on a pedestal so I'm actually not being normal with these people and being something more special? And it led me to really think, how do I present myself as a Christian? Am I making myself seem, I don't know, too arrogant? And it made me really think, how do I, it doesn't mean I go out swearing with all my colleagues, obviously, that wasn't what I was thinking, but I was like, how do I present myself in a way that isn't arrogant and isn't superior and isn't giving this sort of holier-than-thou attitude? So I was really challenged by that and really had to think about it. But one of the things that has supported me or helped me understand is in John 13, verse 35, and it was the memory verse the children had this morning, actually, if they were in the younger, if they were sort of key stage one age group. We never got on to memory verse with the older group. But John 13, verse 35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And I hope that my attitude is that of love, that when I'm they say I'm always trying to see the bright side of things, but it's often that there's people creating tensions, and I'm trying to understand, you feel angry about this situation because, but that person may be feeling equally angry because that, where are we coming from? We might not agree with each other, we might have very strong differences, but the reasons for our differences may actually be the same. You know, it may be the same thing. There's a lot of politics in the NHS, and trying to understand how government decisions impact on what we are and aren't allowed to do and so on. It's challenging, and trying to help people just understand and accept it is a challenge. But God's helping me, and God's always there. And recently, in more recent years, I mean, I think your Christian life goes in peaks and flows, doesn't it? Sometimes you're doing a lot and you feel like you're really close with God and God's really... really there, you know, you have really, your prayer life's really good, your study life's really good, and sometimes it kind of dwindles, doesn't it? It goes down. And for me, a lot of that has been to do with family. When family pressures are such my Bible study and my prayer life get squashed. When you've got very small children and babies, there isn't much time when you're awake enough to pray, because you're either attending a baby or you're asleep, and there isn't much else. And then the children get older and you get more space, and you find you have time for more prayer life. And recently, as my children have been approaching adolescence, remarkably easy, it's supposed to be scary and hard, remarkably easy, I found myself with a lot more time to think, okay, God, where are you leading me now? Where's the next step in my journey? And I've been doing things like Basics Bank, which is great. You sit around, have coffee, talk to people, give them a bit of shopping, play shops for a bit, sort out some shelves, that's fun. That's been really good. And then last year we had the, I've always been involved in Hope stuff because it's good, but Toby invited us all to think about, did we want to be involved in outreach within our church? And he started up the Friends Into Faith thing, and I've been involved with that, and that's great. We had a million books to read in about 4 weeks. I can summarise them all very quickly. It was something like, get to know people, become their friends, pray for them, have barbecues with them, or coffee if you're not really wanting to do barbecues. Be yourself. You don't have to go to cricket. Okay, because that's Toby's always inviting to cricket. I don't do cricket. I'm not going to invite someone to cricket. I'll invite you to eat cake or something like that. You know, something nice. Drink wine or something. It's, I don't know, things that I like doing. Okay. Be intentional in your conversations. So if you're, and that was the big thing for me. It's all very well going out and reaching to people and being nice to people, but being intentional, the idea is to help people on their journey to meet Jesus. And it is a journey, isn't it? It's not about, apart from that book that I wanted to burn, it's not about throwing Jesus into their face and saying, you will make a commitment now or else. It's not about that. But it's about being intentional on our conversations, and about throwing out hooks, back to that fishing thing again. Throwing out hooks, do they grasp it? And pulling people in. If they don't, it doesn't matter. You can throw out another hook. And you can throw out another hook and just generally invite people in. And that took me back to my fishers of men thing. Yes, I'm a people catcher. I'm throwing out hooks and I'm pulling them back in again. But in that story, when Jesus is out in the lake with Andrew and Simon, after he's finished talking to the people on the shore, he says, let's go out into deeper water. Take the boat out to deeper water. And this really struck me the other week when I was preparing for the children. Where is this deeper water that Jesus wants me to go? That's a real challenge for me in my journey at the moment. Let's take you out, Karen. I want you to go deeper. And most of you know, I think I'm about to apply to Moorlands College. I haven't filled in the application form because somebody else who's done it has told me that it's really, really hard. And I've been waiting for time to do that in, because hard things take time. So I'm going to do that this week. But is that the deeper water that Jesus is taking me to? Is this somewhere that's going to challenge me further? Andrew and Simon argued, yeah, but Jesus, we were out there earlier and there were no fish. And I'm thinking, you know, I've done this journey before. I've thought about applying to Moorlands a number of times and thought, no, it's not for me at the moment. But I feel that, yeah, at the moment, this is where Jesus is taking me. He's taking me to some deeper water, to study harder, to learn more about how I can improve my ministry with children here at Eastleigh Baptist, because that's where I feel I belong. I feel Jesus does want me to be here in Eastleigh. But I can learn so much more and be able to give so much more to our children here at Eastleigh Baptist Church, but in the whole of Eastleigh, because it's where we belong. And we reach out in Eastleigh. We have all the schools work. We do lots of stuff at Christmas time. We have holiday club. We can do more. This, I hope, will give me some tools and equip me to look at how we can reach out and do more. Other things I've been doing, and I'll be quick now because I'm sure I've been talking for ages because I yak on a lot. I've been involved in street passes. That's great. That's God's love on the streets. I love it. It, for me, commissioned. I don't know about you, Declan, but that commissioning service probably was the most significantly spiritual experience I've ever had. That sense of going out, I'm commissioned to go out and give God's love to people. It's just an amazing thing. Because Jesus, he went and ate. We did this morning in Epic. He sat down and had a feast with sinners and outcasts. Matthew, the tax collector, invited him to this feast with sinners and outcasts. That's what we're doing. We're going out to meet people. We're all sinners. We might not be outcasts, but we're all sinners. But the people that we see out on the streets on a Friday night, Most of them aren't outcasts. Most people are just people who've had a good time and need a bit of support to get home safely. But some people really are people who have been shunned and pushed to the edge of society. And we're there and we can support and we can love and we can just give people what they need at the time. But where am I going now? Where's the next step? Where's the next step in my journey? I need your prayer support to help me work that out, but I'm also asking that to you. Where are you going? Where's Jesus taking you? Where's the next step on your journey? One of the things that was very significant to me is, I am younger than you, Toby, when you were talking about it's good to have people, oh, yeah, I know, same decade, but a bit younger. Declan's a lot younger than you. But you don't have to be young to start out on something new. You can do something new at any age. And so I'm saying, for me, in the middle of my life, I'm setting out on a journey. God's still taking me somewhere. We don't have to be young to be going somewhere new with Jesus. So I just want to say, I'm going out on a new journey. Where are you going? Where's God taking you? Where do you want God to take you? Or where does God want you to go? Do feel challenged and do feel that that's something we can all do. We can all go in new directions with Jesus.